Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Beis tonight. I'll begin on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, a few lines from the bottom. So the Gemara got into a discussion about how Hashem rewards the good even more than he punishes the bad. So Miriam was kind enough to wait to see, for Moshe Rabbeinu what would happen with his crib. So all the clients were waiting for her, and the Gemara got into a whole discussion about Miriam. So I'll begin five lines from the bottom on Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom. Bechalebin, the quotes of pasuk in Divrei Yamim, and the Gemara darshens out each one of the words in the pasuk. Bechalebin chetzron who leaded azuva isha biet yiriot bielu baneha yishar v'shova v'ardon ben chetzron. So Kaleb, the son of Chetzron, gave birth to Azuva and Yiriot, and these are her sons, Yeshur and Shovav and Ardon ben Chetzron. So Gemara darshens out each one of the words. Kalev ben Yepunahu. So he says, what do you mean that he, or I'm sorry, I didn't read it. He says, ben Ardon. So the Gemara says, ben Chetzron, that Kalev was ben Chetzron, ben Yepunahu. Kalev's father is Yepunah, Kalev ben Yepunah, not ben Chetzron. Ben Shepanami Atzat Meragim. So in Achinami, his real name is Kaleb ben Chetzron, but Ben Yefunah is because he turned away from the council of the Meraglim. Bakati ben Kenaz, who the Gemara says he's still ben Kenaz, Tachtiv by Yekada'a, Aniel ben Kenaz, Achi Kaleb. The Pasuk says in Shoftim that Aniel ben Kenaz conquered a certain town, and he was the brother of Kaleb. So about Aniel ben Kenaz, about Aniel's father's Kenaz, but Aniel's father was Kenaz, so presumably Kaleb's father was also Kenaz. Amarava, Korgo to Kenaz Haba. He was the stepson of Kenaz. So it means Kalev and Aniel shared the same mother, but a different father. He says now on the top line of the base of an Aleph, De Kanami Dechtiv, you can deduce this from the fact that Pasuk says Hakinizi. Kalev is referred to as Hakinizi, Shvamina. So indeed, we can deduce this way. It doesn't say Ben Kenaz. Hakinizi, he was from the household of Kenaz, but he wasn't a son of Kenaz. Then Azuba, Zumiriam. When the pasuk says that it says that Kalev, we said is already Kalev ben Yehuda, but Kalev ben Chetzron, holided Azuva, gave birth to Azuva, Azuva Zumiriam. But I'm going to crash my Azuva. Why is Miriam called Azuva? Azuva means like the forsaken one. Shakol Azuva mitzvata. He says that everybody forsook her from the get-go. When she was ill, nobody wanted to have anything to do with her, but Kalev was interested with her, and then she got better, and everything worked out well. So the Gemara says, Holy, the Lomins of Habanasi, what do you mean that he gave birth to Miriam? He was married to Miriam. Amr B'yochan, Klonosi Ish, L'shem Shemayim, Ma'alev K'tuv Gilu Yilador. That if a person marries a woman for altruistic reasons, so the Pasuk considers it as if he gave birth to that woman. And here, Rashi points out, that she was sick, he married her in the Shem Shemayim, that he checked out her brothers, Aaron and Moshe, he saw their tzaddikim, and most of the kids, Chazal teach us, follow the brothers. He says, then a few more lines, line five on Yubez Ben Aleph, Yiriot, now again, the Pasuk says that Kalev gave birth to Azuba, didn't give birth to her, he married her, but it's as if he gave birth to her. He says, Isha v'yet Yiriot, Yiriot are like sheets. He says, Shayu pana adom in Yiriot, and there's her face, like the Arsul said, white as a sheet. In other words, she was sickly. And these are her sons. Don't read it or understand it as her sons, but boneha, like what gave her the strength and built her up, meaning Kalev. He says, Yishar, Shishar Asmo. In other words, it's all talking about Kalev. Yishar, Shishar Asmo. He straightened himself out. He didn't listen to the Meraglim. Shovav Shashibev at Yitro, that Shovav, he rebelled against his Yetzirah. V'ardon Sharadat Yitro, he ruled over his Yetzirah. Anyway, the Gemara Darshan, the whole Pasuk, is talking about Kalev and Miriam, and they're a husband-wife team, and Kalev stuck with her. Let me do a few more lines, and we'll pause. V'ikad da'amri, someone has said that V'ardon is not a reference to Kali, but a reference to Miriam. Ashiupana domain liberet, her face looked like a rose when she got better. Now, all right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, moving on. Now, the Gemara quotes another pasuk. It says on line 10, Ulashchur v'Tekoa yushtein hashim chala v'na'ara. For Ashchur, the father of Tekoa, there were two wives, chala v'na'ara. Ashchur is a Kali. Ashchur is a reference to Kalev, the Gemara says. Why is his name called Ashur? His face became black with all the fasts that he took. It means that he accepted a lot of fasts, so he'll be saved from the Eitzah, from the council of the Meraglim, of the spies. He says, Avi Shnasa Laka'av. He says that he's called the father. He became like a father to Miriam. And it was, he took care of her. That's the idea. Tekoa Shtekat Libo Lavim Shoshmaim, that he fastened himself. He stuck to Libo Shalom. And then, Hayushtein Hashem, Nasa Miriam Kishtein Hashem. In other words, so in the Pasuk, it says Hayushtein Hashem, he only had one wife, Miriam, but Miriam was like two wives, meaning that he took care of her when she was sick and then when she was better. He says, Chala'a Benara, Lo Chala Benara Havoy, El Bechila Chala'a. Initially, she was very sickly with a sof nara. In the end, she was became, you know, cured, and she looked like a young woman. Okay, now ubenei chala. Now the Gemara quotes another pasuk. Ubenei chala tseret b'tzohar b'enan. The sons of chala were tseret, tzohar, and enan. Tseret shna say tzara l'chaverotea. That Miriam, you know, was a very attractive woman after she was cured, and she was like a tzara, like a. Like, you know, what tzara is when you have two co-wives, but not a co-wife. But, you know, if with other women would be jealous of her, how beautiful she was. Sohar, shupan adomim katzaraim. Her face was like bright, like the mid-afternoon sun. Etnan is like that which you pay a zona. Shekolaroa otam olich etnan leishto. Everybody would see her, would feel motivated and desire to have intimacy and go to his wife and bring her a gift. Okay, that's it with Miriam, with Kalev. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Daniel, Vern, anybody? Okay, moving on. So three lines above where it gets
worse. Rabbi, regarding the Etnan, it's not such a compliment.
Yeah, well, here again, the Gemara is darshaning out the Psukim, but the drasha is, what was the word again? He says, but he's saying that like she was so beautiful that if anybody would see her, he would desire his wife and bring a gift to the wife. When that's similar to an Etnan, not exactly an Etnan, but that's all they have.
Okay, I understand, but a person, yeah. I mean, a woman wants to be looked at, so people want, you know, to have intimacy with their wives. I mean, that's not the purpose of a person displaying themselves. It's a tznut, lack of tznut, sounds like.
No. In other words, the Gemara is saying that if people would see Miriam and feel like they wanted to have, you know, relations with their own wives and then bring the wife a gift, that's what the Gemara is saying. In terms of more than that, but I have to keep moving. I apologize, Danny, we're late and was a big daf ahead, okay? So with three lines before it gets wide. By Saparo L'Cholomo, so Paro, now we're going back to the description of the Yitzis Mitzrayim. By Saparo L'Cholomo, Paro made a decree to his whole nation, that the gezero that Paro made against the Jewish boys were also to his own nation, to the Gentiles. That initially Paro made were the worth, eventually three decrees that Paro made. The first decree was, he tells the Mialdot, if the boy, you kill him. When they proved unreliable, he said, every male goes into the Nile. And then he said, whether they're Jewish or not Jewish, then to the Nile. Then it says, "Vayelchish beit Levi, vayikach bat Levi, lahech kanalach." Where did he go? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zvina shalach bat tzapito. Doesn't mean he went from point A to point B, but he followed the eitzah of his daughter. Tana Torah Brisa, Amram gedol ador haya. That Amram was a gedol ador. Kavan, and here it's thought, he says, Shigazar Paro HaRasha, Kol Bein Yiloda Yor Tashlichuhu. Once Paro made this gezera that all the children have to be thrown into the Nile, Amar L'Shabar Amelim, says, this is all like for naught. Amad V'Girashin Ishto. So he got up and he divorced his wife. Amdu Kulam V'Girashon Ishotem. So they all divorced their wives. Amar Lo Bito, so his daughter Miriam said to Amram, Abba Shigzera Klayot Termi Shal Paro. Your decree, Amram, is worse than Paro's decree. Shaparo Lukazar Elas Harim. Paro's decree only relates to the male children. Mitakazar Elas Harim Elas Kibot. In other words, by not having relations with their wives and divorcing them, so that nobody's going to be born, male or female. Paro Lukazar Elabolamazem. Paro's decree only relates to this world, but the child can have an Olam Abba if he dies. But if nobody's born, you don't have an olam hazeh, olam haba. Parasha safek mekayemet zirato safek ein mekayemet. Paro, it's a safek whether the decree will be fulfilled or not. In other words, in terms of compliance, but you, you're a tzaddik, certainly your exer will be fulfilled. Shenemar, the tikzer omer v'yakamlach, plus pasuk and Eov means that when a tzaddik makes exer, it gets fulfilled. So Amram listened to that, Amad v'exer ishto. So he got up and then he took back his wife, Amdukulam v'exer ishto, and everybody followed suit. Now, the Gemara says, v'yikach, says, v'yelach ish mi'beit levi, v'yikach et bat levi. Amram went from Beit Levi and he took a Bat Levi. So the Gemara says, V'yachzor mi'baylei, or V'yachzir is the way they have, I think they quote from Lein Yaakov, but on the side he has V'yashov, that he returned her. In other words, he's not getting married for the first time. He was married to her, divorced her, now he's remarrying her. So it shouldn't say V'yikach, say V'yachzir mi'baylei. So Amram Rav Yehuda Bar Business, Shasalama Asidik Kuchin. So Rav Yehuda Bar Business said he made like a very big wedding, like usually a big wedding is the first time you get married. That's the way I think the Arsul had it. Here was the second time he made a big to-do. Hoshivaba Apiryon, he put her in this fancy chair. Yaron Miriam Rakhtan Fana and Aaron Miriam were dancing in front of her. This is at the second wedding. The Malachi Sharet said, the mother of children, Semecha, and Moshiva cared about it, that Hashem restores the Keret Abayit, how does he translate a Keret Abayit? One second. Yeah, he restores the uprooted wife. This is where the Archon had a carried by it. I mean, back in the Gemara, so he says, let's take a look. At Bat Levi, he took the Bat Levi, like, you know, a young woman from, or a woman from Levi, after Bat Mehu Shoshim Shana Havi of the carried the Bat. So the Gemara calculates, and Rashi goes through the calculation, that Yocheved was 130 years old at this time, that and the calculations, we know the Jews were in Egypt for 210 years, and when Moshe was born, there was another 80 years left, so it's 130 years left. So in other words, 130 years, then birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 when they leave. So at this point, right before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Yocheved is 130 years old. And it calls her back. She was conceived in transit, and then she was born right when they got to the walls in Mitzrayim. So what does it mean about being? So Amar Rav Yehuda, and some have Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvida, she became like, you know, very young at that time. In other words, like miraculously, she became youthened. He says, so Simani Narod. And what does he have here about Simani Narod? So Rashi says, five lines above gets wide. Chazuli me alumeha, ba'ora kanashim. She was, you know, menstruating like women, ubitor upon him, her face, upashu akbantim. All the wrinkles left. Okay, now let's take a look further. Batari Shabbatilibain, Bahava Ma'abrabai Tlati Yarachaini Ikara. So it says that she became pregnant and gave birth, but the Gemara says she had already been pregnant for 3 months before. That's what the Gemara says. Before he took her back, she was pregnant. So Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Zvina Makish Leita Tala Horata. So it's making a hekish between her birth and the pregnancy. Mahorata Shlo Batzar, just like her conception was without pain. Af Leita Tashlo Batzar. So we see that righteous women were not included in the decree of Chava. They should give birth with pain. So he's born, and she saw that he was Tov. So Tani Rameir Tov Shmo. Meir says that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is Tov. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tovia Shmo. His name was Tovia. And Tovia is that like a Kaddish Baruch who helps him get to be the point of Tov. We'll talk in a minute. From the Chemi Omer, Hagunan of Viyut, that she saw that he was would be appropriate to become a Navi. Some say he was born, you know, when he didn't require bris. But Moshe and Malaya by Kula Or. And the Chachamim say the whole house was filled with light. Now, in terms of Tovia, that he was so that he saw that with Hashem's help, so it fits in. They quoted in the article. There's a famous Teretz Yisrael that this Arab king, he sent these artisans to paint a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the artist comes back with his picture. And then the Chachamim in his town said that he's an evil man. And then they said it can't be. He's a righteous person. So anyway, he goes to where Moshe Rabbeinu is, and he says, the emes is, the picture is accurate. And it's also true that I like by my disposition, I have a proclivity this way, but with a lot of effort, I overcame it. So that fits in, that Tovia fits in with that. Okay, anybody have any questions, comments, or thoughts for a minute or two? Fern, are you still there, Fern? Fern? Burn. All right, Daniel. All right, I'm moving on now.
Yes, I'm here.
Continue on. Do you have a way to contact Yosef Rahmani?
He's out of town. I did.
Know, he said he was going to try to listen in, and I'm afraid he might have tried and not gotten on. So can you email
him? No, he's not. He's not going to get on tonight because I contacted him to get on.
And he did not respond.
He said, I'm not there. I'm out of town. So he didn't sound like I'm trying to get on board.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to buy on then. Okay. We're 10 lines from the bottom. Okay. Everybody with me? 10 lines from the bottom on your base of Manala. Okay.
Rabbi, before you continue, how come we're not making a big deal of your Chabad being 130, having a child? What's the answer to that?
Yeah. So the article had a piece on this. The Ibn Ezra asked the question that it's a big miracle. How come the Torah doesn't make more of this big miracle that Yocheved gave birth? It's like Sarah, who gave birth when she was 100. Yocheved's giving birth when she's 130. So this is if you have an article, Gemara, the article has it on note 46. So Ibn Ezra concludes that our Gemara statements when Yocheved was born cannot be taken literally. That's what he says. Similarly, the Rabbag explains these statements are meant homiletically. However, the Ramban rejects this view, pointing out that in any case, miracle of birth later in life had to have taken place. And then he goes on, 1 second, Ramban goes on to say that the Torah does not tell every miracle that occurs in the lives of men and women it discusses. Rather, there were and are myriad of hidden miracles that are not discussed. Ramban elaborates there on the kinds of miracles the Torah will discuss. And 1 second. All right, he has a little bit more. But that's it on note 40, on footnote, in the article on footnote 46. Okay, I got to move on. Now, but Tispenei Shloshei Rachim, so she hid Moshe Rabbeinu for 3 months. Lomanu Mitzrayim al-Mishash da'adrua, is there was the Egyptians were calculating from the time that Amram remarried. So they figured nobody's going to be born for 9 months. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born 6 months after they remarried because she was already carrying him. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was 3 months old, now he's they're going to check on her. So he's trouble. So he says, "Below Yachlod Hatzpinu Amai Tispinay B'Teziel." I'm sorry. He says, "But Tispinay Ushal Shay Rochim Lomanu Mitzrayim Lomishash Dadrua Yevan Ma'Abra Beit Tlat Yarchem Ikara." Below Yachlod Hatzpinu, she couldn't hide him anymore. Amai Tispinay B'Teziel. Why can't she continue hiding Moshe Rabbeinu? Ela Kolayechet Abu Shami Mitzray B'Teli Dinuka. So wherever the Egyptians would hear news, whatever, that there's a child around, it would bring like an Egyptian child to cry. And when one child hears the other one crying, they both cry. And that way we'll be able to, you know, ferret them out. So he says, he quotes a pasuk in Shir Shirim, like these foxes have grabbed us, but that's what it means. Now, she took the wicker basket. Why did Yocheved make a wicker basket for Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbi Lazar, he comes to the Shmonim Chavivalein Yotemi Gufan. He says that wicker is very cheap, and the Chachamim, their money is more precious than their guf. why is the money so precious to them? The pishein poshim de begezel, because they don't do anything that's thievery. So when the money, they're machshiv their money. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar devarach shecholam over b'nei devarach b'nei devar kasher. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said, no, there's a practical reason why they made a wicker basket. A wicker basket can handle like a soft bang and a big bang. If it's a soft bang, it's certainly okay. And let's say it bangs against the rock, so it'll spring back and be back in the water. Whereas like a wooden thing might crack or break. This is v'tachmarabah chemar v'zafet. She's smeared with clay and pitch. Tana chemar between the clay on the inside v'zafet v'yachut to the pitch on the outside. So that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't smell this bad smell. V'tasam bada yeled, v'tasam asuf. She put the child in there and she put it basuf. Reblazamar yamsuf. Reblazam says yamsuf. Now Yam Suf, the Sea of Reeds, somehow touched the Nile, but there was a quiet place there. Rishmu Barnach Bani Amar, the top line on your base and base, Agam, a marsh. Kidachtiv, Kaneb Suf Kamelu. The Kaneb and the Suf, like, wilted away. What does he say? One second. He says that the reeds and the thin willows, here he translates Suf as thin willows, will wither. But the point is that he put the basket, according to the article, in still waters, according, so it should not be carried away by the river's current. Okay, in other words, he placed it in among the reeds and willows, so no passerby see her hiding something there. Okay, anyway, that's the piece with that. Now, Vaterit Vaparolur Choslayor, so the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe by the river, if I read it literally, so Amr B'Yochai, Mishmishm Yochai, Yochai says, Mishmishm Yochai, Melmechir, Dalar Chosmi, Gilei Avia. That she went to purify herself from the Avodah Zarah. In other words, she's becoming a type of Gioret. She's, you know, monotheistic, and she's being Tovel. Rashi says, with Bol Sham L'Shem Gerit, that she's toveling for purposes of conversion. She says, V'cheinu Meir, in Rechaz Hashem, and Suat Benot Zion V'Gomer. So he says that the quotes of Pasuk in Yeshaya, where Rechitza is used to, like, meaning cleanse from, like, spiritual wrongdoing. But in Arutel, Chot Gomer, her maidens, meaning Bat Paro's maidens, were walking on the riverbank. Amar Yochanan Halicha Lashon Mita. Here, Halicha means implies death, meaning they're going to die. It says by Esav, Hine Anochi Olech Lamud. So here they're going to die for reasons that the Gemara will explain shortly. They were against saving Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, now, Batera Teba Batocha Sof. So she sees this crib in the reeds, came into the chazuka ba'ulatsula the Moshe, when her maidens, the Bat Paro's maiden, saw that she, the Bat Paro, wants to save Moshe Rabbeinu, and here the Bach has the kabat latsula the Moshe. Amrullah, they said to her, "Giviratenu, our mistress, when I go shalola melech basarvadam gozer gzera, like among earthly kings, the melech basarvadam he makes gzera and kolon kulo imekaimenota." But in other words, even if the law is in the breach, but the members of the household, they normally hold the line. You're not keeping your father's zera. Your father Paro made a zera that the kids should be killed. And here you want to save this boy. So Gabriel, who's the malach, like protecting Klai Yisrael, came and slammed them in the ground, and then they died. He says, Paro's daughter sent forth her Amma. Now, Amma can mean arm, or Amma can mean her maiden. It says, we have machloket between these two Tanayim. Mandamar Yadah, one who says that it means her arm, the Fiba Mata means her arm. Mandamar Shifchata, her maiden, or the maidservant, Loktiv Yadah. In other words, normally Yad would be the normal way we would use. Since it makes a variation on it, we think it means the maidservant. The one who says that it was her shifcha, her maid, but we said Gabriel came and killed all of these women. The Shir Lachata, Gabriel left one alive. It's not, the Bat Melech shouldn't be left with no attendant. When it says Yadah, why is the Torah not right Yadah? Teach us that the hand became miraculously long. The Amar, that you similarly, in other words, over here, this is a memra. It's talking about by Esther. When Esther comes in to see Ahasuerus, so the only one who gets to live is if the one with the scepter, he extends the scepter. So when Esther came in, she was far away from Ahasuerus, so Ahasuerus' scepter, you know, became longer. So he says, the Amar Mar, with Paro's arm, by the teeth of Rishayim. This is Gemara Masechet Brachot. There's a story there that Og Melech HaBashan, he picked up the mountain, and the mountain had been bored through by ants. He put the mountain on his head, and then the mountain slipped through over his head, and his teeth became long, and they couldn't take the mountain off. The tip Shinei Rishim Shibarta. Now, with this, let me just pause here for a little bit, station identification. After this, but
Rabbi, what is revavta? I didn't understand.
Yeah, that you made it longer. In other words, you made it much bigger. Now, now there's a whole piece of Torah where they talk about the Chafetz Chaim talks about that Bat Paro, you know, she sees the crib and the crib is far away from her. So, you know, what's the point of even extending her arm? So the Chafetz Chaim says, you see, I went over this to my Parsha class. He says, you see, like, you know, that even sometimes things seem impossible, but you need to do whatever you need to do. And then in her case, the Kadosh Baruch Hu called a miracle. Like, there are all sorts of things in life, endeavors, you know, people say, yeah, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other thing. But you have to, you try your best when you can, and then you take it from there. Now, I think he says over here, let me see where he has it here. 1 second. Yeah. Now, here he quotes in the article, footnote 10, he quotes from Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, says, not necessarily explain the hand literally length of many feet. But Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, you don't have to say it's literal that extended. It was asked to restore it to its original size in the second miracle. Rather, the Gemara is speaking metaphorically. Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses' basket from afar. However, the distance did not prevent her from reaching out for it. The princess gathered her strength, commanded every bit of courage and daring she had, and kept reaching toward the luminous infant floating upon the surface of the water until she had him. A person has inner resources that vastly exceed his natural abilities. So whether you say like the Chafetz Chaim or Chaim Shmuel Levitz, but the point is you make whatever efforts you can and go forward with it. Okay, now let me see back. Any other questions, comments, thoughts before I go on? Everybody good? Okay, so moving on. So, I'm Reb Yossi, Reb Chanina. I'm sorry, so she opens the crib or opens the covering and she sees the child. She saw him at a yelled, it's a little like verbose there. She'd be batera at a yelled, she saw the child. She saw the Shechina, or the sense of God's divine presence with the child. So it should be, in other words, batir ehu et hayelad. She saw him with the child, et meaning with the child, meaning the Shechina. Bininar bocha, a child was crying, karili yelad, karili nar. So it calls him, first it calls a yelad, then it calls a nar. So Tana nebraisa, who yelad, bikolo kinar, did Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was a child, but his voice was like deeper, like that of a nar. So Amar Rabbi Nechemi says to Rabbi Yehuda, in Kenas told Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum. If that's the case, then you're making Moshe Rabbeinu into a Balmum, like a person with a defect. And Rashi points out in the fourth wide line, who Levi even himself with Kol Avod Ashir. In other words, he then, based on that, he would be passable for Avodah in the base of Mikdash because his voice is too deep, because he can't sing properly. So rather, Reb Nechemi says that his mother made a type of like chuppah for him, a chuppah neurim, a chuppah that you know, made for young men in the teva. Amra Shemelo was killed chuppah tol. Maybe I'll never be zoken to see his chuppah, and so that's what it means. So either a nar boche yelled at a nar that he had an aspect to be a nar like a deep voice, or that it was known that the mother made like a type of chuppah for the child. But so she has Rachmanis on the child, Bataro, but he's from the Jews. So Manayada, how does she know that? She saw that he was Mahul, that he didn't have a bris. I mean that he had a bris. The only thing is that Gemara said earlier that it was like naturally that way, but she saw that he's Mahul, so she knew he was Jewish. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Zeh. That she gave a nevuah without realizing it. Zenofel ben Acher Nofel, that Zeh, this child, had to fall or be placed in the water, but no other children, meaning that now Paro's decree is going to terminate. He says, this is the Yeshaya. He says, let's say the people, the idolaters, will say, you should seek out the Obod and the Edonim, like these necromancers. They like chirp and they vocalize. But here the Gemara darshens out, Sofin, they don't know what Sofin. They see things, they don't know what they see. In other words, these false, these non-Jews, they say things, but they don't know what they're saying. They saw that the Savior of the Jews, his downfall is going to be through water. So they made the gezerah that any child's born should be thrown into the oar. Came to Shanyu and Moshe, when they threw Moshe, or when Moshe was placed in the oar, Amru Tulu Chazinan, Kehu Simana. So they say, we don't see that Siman anymore, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was now, his life was in peril. So we don't see that, you know, like he's posing a threat. That's what they did, what they didn't see with their Simanim. So about Lulu Zeratayu, so the Rambatel, the Gzeru, he says, Vahim Enan Yodim Shalmeim Riva Uloke. They didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu's downfall is going to be with Mei Meriva when he hits the rock together with Aaron later on in the Midbar. That this is the Mei Meriva, that's the ones that the Paro's astrologers saw and made a mistake. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. He's saying there are 600,000 horsemen, like Ragli is the infantry. What is Shishmi on Elf Ragli? One second. He says on my account, but doesn't mean literally. Yes, with footmen. So 600,000 footmen, but it means Ragli means on my account. It says I'm on the emotional Israel, but Shvilini Tzaltim Kulchen. On my account, you were all saved. Meaning, because I'd been placed in the oar, so Mela, they were in Vatel, the Gezerah. Okay. Reb Chaniah bar Papa Amar, Oto Yom Eshim Yechad B'Nisan Haya. I can go a little slower now. So any questions, comments, thoughts on what we did so far? Anybody? Bernie, you want to say anything? Okay. Daniel, you want to say anything? Okay. So moving on. All right. So Amar, Reb Chaniah bar Papa Amar.
Who's in the base medrash? Who do
just
you have
me.
With you?
Zero.
Just you?
So Reb Chaniah bar Papa Amar, Oto Yom Eshim Yechad B'Nisan Haya. So Reb Chaniah bar Papa said that day was the 21st day of Nisan, meaning the day that Bat Paro finds Moshe Rabbeinu was the 21st of Nisan, is apropos the seventh day of Pesach. Amru Melachei Sharon Tzinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yishtat Tilamar Shir Al Yam B'Yom Zeh, the one, i.e. Moshe Rabbeinu, who's destined to recite a shira, a song to you on this day, Yilakeb Yom Zeh, should he be
straight up. Now you're frozen.
I'm frozen. I don't know what to do. Can you hear me? All right, I'm just going to have to keep going.
Rabbi, I hear you. You were frozen before.
Okay, you were frozen.
Okay, now I'm unfrozen. Okay, now, so he says the one who's going to sing a shira song for you on this day, should he be stricken on this day? Meaning, it's like inoperative, all days, Moshe Rabbeinu should, it's not the day to harm him. So Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Amar, Oto Yom Shishav Sivan Aya. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina said the day that he was saved was the 6th of Sivan. Amru Malach HaShar, the one who's destined to receive the Torah on this day, he's like, Heb Yom Zeh, should he be stricken on this day? The Gemara says, "B'shleim l'man d'mar b'shish of Sivan." The one who said the 6th of Sivan, "Mashkachala shloshi yarchei." He says, in other words, the Gemara is going to say Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar. So if I calculate 3 months, he's 3 months old. So 3 months from the 7th of Adar will give you Nisan Iyar Sivan. Will give you the 6th of Sivan. That works out. So Mashkachala gimel yarchei d'mar mar b'shivab Adar made on the 7th of Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu died, and they were able to calculate that he died on the 7th of Adar because Yisrael mourned him for a month. Then they waited 3 days and they crossed the Arden. They crossed the Arden on the 10th of Siva of Nisan. So subtracting out, you get the 7th of Adar. And he says, Vishvab Adar Nolad Moshe. And he's born on the same day. He says, you know, B'meyavis Rishna Anokhe Yom, that he had fulfilled complete years. U'mishvab Adar V'yachish B'siva Antlati Yarkhe. So from the 6th of Siva until the 7th of Adar, it's 3 months. That works out well. Elamandamar B'yishvim V'chad B'nisan. But according to the one who says that the events of Moshe Rabbeinu and the daughter of Paro took place on the 21st of Nisan, which is coming up now this week. In other words, this Wednesday is the 21st of Nisan. How does that work out? In other words, how could he be born on the 7th of Adar, be 3 months old, and only yield the 21st of Nisan? So that he should be 5 weeks old, right? He said, or 6 weeks old. So the Gemara says, Ota Shana Muberet. I thought the Gemara says the year that Moshe Rabbeinu was born was a Shana Muberet, a leap year. So he's got Adar from the 7th to the end of Adar. Then he has a second Adar. And then in Nisan, he's got 3 weeks in Nisan. So when he says 3 months old, he had most of the first month, meaning of Adar, from the 7th of Adar to the end of Adar. From Nisan, he had the first Rosh Hashanah Nisan to the 21st. In the complete middle month. Anyway, it works out 3 months as well. So
they had leap years back then?
It sounds like it. If you have a lunar month, a lunar year, you definitely have to have a leap year. He says, Vatomer Achotol Bat Paro, Haileich Bekarat Lach Yishami Nechet Mina Ibriot. So Moshe Rabbeinu's sister said to the daughter, Paro, do you want me to call a wet nurse from the Jews? Why did she say Ibriot? They brought Moshe Rabbeinu to all the Egyptian women below Yanak, and he didn't nurse. And here on the side he has Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Teshatil the Bear Mashchina. Kadosh Baruch Hu said the mouth that's going to speak with the Shechina, with God's divine presence, Yanak the Bar Tamei, did he nurse from a Dabar Tamei, meaning from these Egyptian women? There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, like, to whom should knowledge be taught, to who should understand the Shmuel, like the lessons from Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemulei Mechalav, those who have been weaned from milk, Latikishtaim, removed from the women's breasts. So he says, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. And we'll come back to this if we have a few minutes, if we have time. But Tumla Paparo, Lehi. So the daughter of Paro said, go, and then it says, but Teilech Alma, and then the Alma, the young woman, meaning Miriam, went. So Amar Blazar, Amar Lamech HaHalkab, is reason to Alma, that Miriam went with bigger, like an Alma. Alma is a young girl, but Alma also means welcome. So, okay, so now there's somebody in the basement who's here for any particular issues here. Okay. All right. So but you're hard to see though, and you're very dark where you are. Yeah, so it looks like Batika's comments where you are. Okay, now let's take a look.
I'm in the car.
All right. So it says, so Ba'alma means like with strength, that she went like with strength. He says, and Rashi brings down the four lines from the bottom in Rashi, Kokalek Mo Kazak Ma'amatz Takifa Alein. The word for amatz, like be strong, is alein. Alma, the young woman, but be strong. So that's why Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Ha'alama Shalima Etibareh, that she didn't disclose her whole story. She didn't say, I'm the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're 5 lines to the bottom on Yud Beis Amud Beis. But Tomela Paparo Helichia Yelad Azam, the daughter of Paro, the daughter of Pharaoh says, Helichi, like take this child. He says, so it should be Holichi. Holichi should be really good. Helichi. Amr Kamru Khanina mit Nabab Yudab Ma mit Nabab. She was prophesying and didn't realize what she was saying. Helichi, hey Shalichi. In other words, it should really be up to Holichi. Take this child. But it's a Helichi, like this is really yours. Helichi, this is yours. Hey Shalichi. Bania Tinitz Harech. So you take this child and I'll give you Elia Bini Kili. So I'm sorry. Miriam called, I didn't say something correctly. Miriam calls her mother, an Aim Hayalad, and then Bat Paro says to Yocheved, Hey Lichi Hayalad Azeh, like take this child, but like it's really your child, Hey Lichi, not Holichi, and I'll pay you for being a wet nurse. It's not enough for Tzadikim that Hashem causes their lost item to be restored to them. El Shinon Nim Lehem Scharan. He gives him a sakar for it. In other words, he's getting paid to nurse her own child. But it says by the Shira Yam, which is a lot of connections with the Daf Yomi, with the calendar. We saw already about the seventh day of Pesach, and now we have the Shira Yam, which is the Kriya for this coming Wednesday. It says over there, but the Miriam Levia, the sister of Aaron, took the drum or the what is it?
Tupin?
No, the tof. The tof. Yeah. How does it translate tof? Because the drum in her hand. So he says, so the Gemara says, Achot Amram lo Achot Moshe, the sister of Amram, not the sister of Moshe. Amram Amram Rab, Amri lo Amram Nachman Amram, Omei Shaitam Nabat, she Achot Aaron. That when she was the sister of Aaron, she was giving Nebuah. And it was before Moshe Rabbeinu was around. The Omeret, the top line on Yidgimim and Aleph, the Omeret, Atita Imish, Tele Ben, Shemoshi Yisrael. My mother is going to give birth to a child who's going to be the savior of the Jewish people. Became Shalom Moshe, and Malay Kolabayat Kula Or. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house filled with light. He says, Amar Abiyon Shakal Rosha, her father stood up and kissed Miriam on her head. Amar Labitina Kaiman of Huatech, I see your prophecies, it looks like it's had to be fulfilled as an unusual child. He says, Mekaman Shaytiluli Or. But then when they threw Moshe Rabbeinu into the Nile, Amar Abiyon Betapcha Rosha, here he says that they tapped her on the head. I know it sounds like more like he says, Amar la biti hecha nevuatek. Where's your nevuah? Behind the tiba tzavach tomei rachok l'deah ma yeyaselao. That his sisters stood to see what would happen with him. L'deah ma yehei b'sob nevuata. What's going to happen to her nevuah? Okay, let me just see a few things about the nursing from the non-Jewish woman. So, so this is from the Aladap. The Gemara relates that when Moshe Rabbeinu was an infant in Paro's palace, he resisted nursing from the Egyptian nursemaids because Egyptian milk would hinder his spiritual growth and render him unfit to speak with Hashem. The Gemara in Yevamot on Kuf Yudal says that in the absence of kosher milk, an infant may be given to nurse from a non-Jewish wet nurse or from a non-kosher animal because milk is essential for an infant's well-being. The Rath, we're going to Chananel, understands that milk of a non-Jewish woman may be fed to an infant only in cases of pikuach nefesh because it's not kosher and is equivalent to milk of a non-kosher animal. The Rashba disagrees and proves from several sources that milk of a non-Jewish woman is halachically permissible for consumption. So that's the way Rashba learns. Nevertheless, explains the Rashba, it's a mitzvah chassid, an act of piety, not to give one's baby to a non-Jewish nursemaid because her milk will have a negative effect on the baby. In other words, the non-Jewish women, they eat treifus, and the treifus enters like the milk. This relates also to the Parsha Shavuah. This week is Parsha Shmini, so it's about the dinim of kashrut. Rashba explains that the nature and character traits of the nursemaid are transmitted through her milk, as indicated in the incident regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, related by our Gemara. Child nurses from a non-Jew will be part of the quality character traits inherited to the Jewish nation, i.e. by Shanim Rachmanim and Gomelei Chasadim. So here he seems to say that it's inherent with the non-Jewish milk. I thought it was because they eat the non-kosher food, but here he seems to say it's like inherent with the person. Rashi indicates that nursing from a non-Jewish woman is spiritually harmful to a Jewish child due to the fact that her milk derives from non-kosher food in her diet. And the tip suggests that if a non-Jewish nursemaid lives in a Jewish home, eats non-kosher food, her milk will not be harmful to a Jewish infant. So that kufa is a machloket rishonim. If the non-Jewish woman just seeks kosher food, is it okay to nurse the child with it or not? Now, the Shulchan Aruch rules, in accordance with Rashba, that all human milk is kosher. The Ramah citing the Rashba comments that if Jewish milk is available, one should not allow his child to nurse from a non-Jewish woman, since her milk negatively impacts on the child's character development. Moreover, says the Ramah, a nursing mother should be cautious with her diet because milk which stems from non-kosher food can have a detrimental effect on the child's spiritual development. The Shalah, the Shach explains that even if the mother is suffering from a serious medical condition, is compelled to eat non-kosher food due to pikuach nefesh, her milk could still be harmful to the child, and an attempt should be made to obtain a Jewish nursemaid. If a dangerously ill person must meet on Shabbos, and only non-kosher meat is readily available, the Shulchan Aruch rules that it is permitted to slaughter an animal to provide the ill person with kosher meat. So he's got meat, but it's treif and Shabbos. So the choice is to be mechal Shabbos and give him the kosher meat, or have the person eat the treif meat. The Meshach Chachma that Tziv explained, so the Shulchan Aruch rules that you slaughter an animal, even though it's malacha deraisa, it would be. Meshach Chachma that Tziv explained that even though eating non-kosher meat is less serious sin than the corresponding sin of the Shabbos, feeding a sick person non-kosher food is not considered a viable option. It's spiritually harmful. Now, there's a piece from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that, in other words, the Gemara learned that it's brought down the halakha that a person shouldn't give his child to eat the non-kosher milk, the spiritually harmful milk. So he says that we learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was going to speak with the Shekhinah. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you see that every child, you have to have expectations, the possibility that your child could speak with the Shekhinah, and you have to, you know, be careful for them for that reason. Okay, I'm about to wrap it up. Any questions, comments, or thoughts, Fern? Fern? Okay, I think it goes over again. All right, but I think that's going to be it for tonight. All right, let me just get here. One second, hang tight. Let me just close, then we'll talk. One second.